when I get to heaven, I want to be able to play the drums like David King. I feel bad for the guy. I feel like I need to take him a bottle of water or something, because he's just, or a rag to wipe his face off or something. He's just getting down up there, and I love it. I love it. I love it. I got to tell you something, though, about what I know about my friend David King. I love to listen to him play. I know many of you love to listen to him play. But he's not playing for you. He's not even just playing for me. He's playing to God the Father. And you can, I just tell you what. And that's why, I just got to tell you that about 90% of the time when I'm up here in the front during our worship, our music time, I don't know what's going on behind me. I move up to the front where I don't even know what's going on behind me. And I get do some whatever I want to do, and just know that I'm not doing it for you either. So I don't make any excuses or apologize for any of that. This morning, I want to talk with you just a few moments. I titled this message, Developing a Hunger for God. I got to be honest with you. When it's raining outside and it's cold on a Sunday morning, these thoughts go through my head. I often think, well, it's going to be a low attendance day here at Dolan. I just know it because of the weather. And when we have a low attendance, often our tithes and offerings are low, which takes my thoughts to the budget and our expenses, and as a church, some decisions we might need to make based upon the amount of money we have or don't have. And all this happens really, really, really fast in my head. Sometimes my head is pretty thick and things don't happen very quickly, but thoughts like that, boy, they're very fast, and they go really quick. And I know that many of you have thoughts as well. Maybe it's about what's going to be your menu for the week, and do you have the food in the pantry to make it? How are you going to pay that bill you just got in? What am I going to do about my health? What am I going to do about my kids? What am I going to do about my parents? What am I going to do about my love interest, my broken down car, my career? And sometimes I think that sometimes we get so wrapped up in all of that, God tells us, you are more concerned with these things than you are about my presence. In life, it's easy to get more concerned about the absence of problems than it is about the presence of God. Just think about sometimes in our prayer life, we spend a whole lot of time talking about our problems and not enough time asking God to continue to show Himself to us, to reveal Himself to us, and work in us and through us. You see, sometimes we're more concerned about the absence of problems, my problems going away, than we are about seeing what God wants to do in the midst of our problems. I want us to be a church that heaven takes note of. I want us to be a church that when God's looking, you got the picture. Of course, heaven and everybody says He's looking down on us. The truth is He's right here with us. Just look around. But I got this picture in my head when God, on Sunday morning, churches are worshiping everywhere and the angels are watching and God's watching, taking note of everything. And somebody says, excuse me, God, you got to check this out over here. And He comes over and goes, Dolan, oh yeah, Dolan. Wow. Y'all, come over and look at this. I want us to be a church that heaven takes note of. I want us to be individual people that heaven notices. The truth is, we can't be a church that heaven takes note of if we're not individual people that heaven notices. The first thing that I believe needs to be done for that to happen is to have a hunger for God. A church that truly hungers for God and the things of God is a church that God loves to bless. We were talking about around the dinner table about this country, this nation, and when it was founded. And Rebecca just made the statement. She said, I believe that the reason why America has been so blessed is because it was founded upon Christian values, godly principles. God loves to bless those who are honoring Him. The trouble and the problem is as we move further away from that as a nation, the danger is that we see less and less blessing, I believe. Do you reward your kids for bad behavior? Are we God's kids? Do we expect Him to reward us for bad behavior as a country? No, can't do that. I believe that there are at least three components of a church that hungers for God. And when I say hunger, I'm not talking about the need for a snack or filling up out of boredom. Any of y'all eat just because you're bored? Yeah. I'm going to pray for y'all. Because I know very well your struggle. I'm talking about more than that. More than a snack. More than just eating out of or filling up out of boredom. Or more than just because, my gosh, it's 5 o'clock. It's time to eat. I'm going to die if I don't eat something by 6 o'clock. Amen. I need one of those good old hamburgers. What I'm talking about is having such a need that we would die if it were not met. That kind of hunger. That's what hunger truly is. And I believe that we really don't know what hunger truly is. We're in the middle of a campaign right now for Lottie Moon Christmas offering. How many of you know the story of Lottie Moon? There's a few of you. Okay. I'm going to give you a... Back in my day, it was called the Cliff Notes version. I think they've got a new Spark Notes. It went from Cliff to Sparks, so I don't know how we did that. But the short and condensed version, okay, Lottie Moon, she was a missionary in China. And she was there, and there was a great depression, and the economic situation was very, very rough and poor, and the people were starving. And I'm not talking about they didn't get their mid-afternoon snack. I'm talking about they hadn't eaten in days. And they were starving and they were dying from starvation. And Lottie, you know, she was a missionary there, and so she had some supplies, but they weren't enough to feed everybody. But she got so convicted when she went to her pantry and said, how can I eat my food when the people I'm trying to show Jesus to have no food? And so she began to not eat with those people. And she sent out a cry, an international cry. We need help for these people that are dying. And no help came. No help came. No money came. No food came. And she just continued to suffer right along with them. And then some of her people, you know, the missionary friends and other contacts began to notice her dwindling health. And they said, you know, we've got to get you taken care of. And so finally she agreed to come back and go get some help. And she boarded the ship there in the port, and she died on the ship before the ship ever left port. That's Lottie Moon. This Lottie Moon Christmas offering is set up. It's set up at Christmas time. It's for the international missions to go abroad, across the world, and to help folks. So when you give to that, our goal is $1,050, I believe. And so that offering is now taking place, and so if you'd like to give to that, please do so. It goes all the money you give will go all the way around the world. But some of her supporters began to take note, and they began to, as a story unfolded of her life and what she had done and the sacrifice that she had made, then came the international support after her death. And that's why we now have the Lottie Moon Christmas offering through the Southern Baptist Convention that sends money all around the world. That's Lottie Moon. But that, she found out what it was to be hungry. That's the hunger I'm talking about. The hunger is you know, like I said, some of us feel like we're going to die if we don't have that mid-afternoon snack or a bag of popcorn before bed or something like that. Folks, we're talking about a hunger that consumes you. That's all you think about. When you wake up in the morning and your stomach is in knots because you haven't eaten in 3 days, and you wonder if today might be the day you get to eat something, or if today just might be the day you die. It consumes everything. When you walk to wherever you're going, you're thinking about food, and you're wondering, how can I get something? Is there anything there available for me? Can I? That is a hunger I'm talking about. Developing a hunger for God like that, not a mid-afternoon snack. I'm talking about a true hunger for the things of God. Three things I want to point out to us. The first, to have a true hunger for God, the first thing we've got to do is have a greater realization of God's presence. God is already present. We talked about that. God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. You know what omnipresent means? God is omni lots of things. He's omniscient, omnipotent. He's all-knowing, He's all-powerful, and He's omnipresent. He is present everywhere. You can't look around without seeing God working, moving, touching His creation, the things. I'm not talking about some mystical thing where God is nature and, you know, that we worship the trees and hug them and stuff like that and don't eat. I'm not going to go there. But He's already present. But a church that hungers for God wants to recognize His presence even more. We should want to be more conscious of Him, to have a greater awareness of God in our midst. Now, God promises us that as we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. The first part of James chapter 4, verse 8, I've got several passages of Scripture, so they're going to put them on the screen. First part of James chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you." If we develop a greater realization of God's presence, we will experience His presence in ever-increasing measure as we hunger for Him. As we hunger for God, as we desire and just have this deep down craving, desire, hunger for God. The second thing, when we hunger for the presence of God, we desire to be filled to full measure with His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, to fill the fullness. I've given the demonstration sometimes where you take a glass of ice water, 8 ounce glass of ice water, and I ask you how much water is in that glass. It's not 8 ounces. Now, technically, I know somebody in the room is going to say, well, ice is water too. It's just in a different state. But if you poured out that ice water and you put your hand over the top, you know, like you do your Sonic cup sometimes, and you poured out the water, there's not 8 ounces in there because there's other stuff in the glass. It's the ice. So it's not, the glass is not full of ice. I mean, it's not full of water. It's got some water in it, but there's also the ice that's taking up room. To truly hunger for God, we've got to say, I need to get rid of these things that are taking up space and allow the Spirit. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit when you've got all this other stuff in there. You may be full, but you're full of a mixture of some spirit, some lust, some habits, some addictions, some pride, some, that list goes on and on and on. So you can't be truly full of the Spirit until you empty yourself. Again, although the Holy Spirit's presence is a constant in every believer, that's a promise from the Scripture, folks. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 20 tell us that our experiences can vary by the degree of His power and presence operating in our lives. It says this: "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." It doesn't say here, instead, have a decent portion of the Spirit, or have a good measure of the Spirit. It doesn't say have a sampling of the Spirit. It says be filled with the Spirit. speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we're filled with the Spirit, God occupies every part of our lives. We submit and give Him the freedom to do within us all that He came to do. When God says, I need you to do this, or I want you to do this, or you're going to do this, and we go, but, you see, it doesn't really matter what you say after that. You've already shown that there's a portion that God does not have control in our lives. We're not full of the Spirit because there's something in there that's taking up some of the Spirit's space. It's His space. When we said, I surrender and I give my life to You, Lord, He says, then you're mine. So we've already given it to Him, but we've stolen some back and said, yeah, but this is what I really like this, or I really don't like what you might ask me to do, so I'm not going to give that part to you. You can't be full of the Spirit when you have other things you're holding on to. We submit and give Him the freedom to do within us all that He came to do. He is the one who guides and controls us. His power is displayed through us and is shown as the fruits of the Spirit. Very familiar passage, Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23 tell us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit can only be displayed when you are full of the Spirit. The third thing, when we talk about being a church that makes heaven applaud, that makes heaven stand up and take notice. One is a greater realization of God's presence. Second, when we hunger for the presence of God, we desire to be filled with the Spirit. And the third thing is, talking about the hungering for the presence of God, we have certainly been given the privilege of requesting a special anointing for a special time, for a special season, for a person. This is called the manifest presence of God. When God shows Himself clear. And asking God to show off, not for our glory, but for His. And this is a clear and visible increase of God's working in a specific situation, a life, or event. Psalms 145 verse 18 tells us, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all that call on Him in truth. The Lord comes near for a special time, a special season. That's when we're a Bible-believing church, are we not? Okay, good. I knew that. I just wanted to make sure you knew that. And so when we have somebody that wants to be anointed with oil and prayed over and laid hands on, folks, that's right out of Scripture. That's not some thing that just the Pentecostal people have, okay? Maybe for a long time they're the only ones that really believe that and activated that part of Scripture. But folks, it's Scripture. And so when we do that, we're asking for God's manifest presence. We're saying, God, work in this person's life. Heal this person. Minister to this person. Move this person. Do something. Show off in this person's life. That's right out of Scripture, folks. It says, the Lord is near to all who call on Him. That's what we do. We call on the Lord. Lord, we recognize that Your Spirit is here. But we're asking that Your Spirit would be here in a very physical sense in this person's life. Heaven takes note. It's important to understand, though. I need to make a little caveat here. It's important to understand the need to be careful when we talk about the manifest presence of God, because sometimes people can misuse or even abuse this privilege. And it is a privilege that God has given us. Sometimes they abuse it by seeking overly emotional or false or even conjured up spiritual experiences. But here's the truth. If you've not heard anything, you need to hear this. Any experience that happens as far as seeking the manifest presence of God always needs to be in alignment with God's revealed will in Scripture. God's presence will always honor the person of Jesus Christ. Always. And it will always, this manifest presence of God will always produce a greater hatred for sin and a greater love for righteousness in our lives. It never contradicts truth as revealed in the Bible. These three things, I believe, that if we would really get on board and activate in our lives and really develop a hunger for God, we begin to see some amazing things. Seeking the presence of God is the most important thing we could ever do as a church. More important than the December 11th Christmas party. I'm looking forward to that. Okay? But it's more important to seek and have a hunger for God than it is to have that party. When we have a hunger for God, I mean a real, true, genuine hunger for God, He will answer and move in ways that we could have only imagined. I read a quote this week. And it says this, talking about churches in America. You could take the Holy Spirit out of half the churches in America today, and they would keep right on going as if nothing ever happened. I had a little issue with that quote, because if that's their attitude, I'm not sure the Spirit was really... I mean, He was there, He just wasn't welcome or recognized. Remember, the Spirit is everywhere. But they wouldn't even recognize it if the Spirit left. I don't want us to get so busy doing church that we forget why we do church in the first place. We exist as a church to be His voice and to do the work of Jesus Christ in this world. Sometimes that work is right here in our community. Sometimes it's in one of the neighboring towns. Sometimes it's in China, and part of what we do, sending money over there to help that, that's part of doing God's work. We cannot do it without having a hunger for His presence. We would never be successful in His mission without His presence anyway. And I got to tell you, you personally will never be successful in your personal spiritual walk without a personal hunger for God. Do you want to be blessed? Come on, I'm asking you, do you want to be blessed? How many of you want blessings? Yeah. Do you crave the blessings more than the presence of God? You see, sometimes that's where the trick is. Sometimes we want the blessing. The blessings are the fringe benefit. It is. That's the greatest blessing. The presence of God is the greatest blessing. But sometimes we're so focused on, Lord, bless me in this, bless me in this. And God is saying, do you even know who I am? Because the only time you come to me is when you want something. We sing this song here at this church that says, we don't want blessings. We want You. We don't want anything but You. Y'all know that song? We sing that song? Okay. Is that a true statement when we sing that song? It should be. You're right. It should be. But is it within your heart? And I'm not asking you to raise your hands on that one, but I think it's really something we ought to ask ourselves. Do we truly desire God more than anything else in this world? I pray that statement, that song, becomes ever increasingly true in each one of our lives. And when it does, like I said, we're going to see some amazing things that God wants to do in our midst. Now, we will never do it if we don't first see the need. A church that sees no need to do anything, guess what? Never will. Never will. If a church sees no need to reach the community, they never will. If a church sees no need to grow in their relationship with Christ, they never will. If a church sees no need to reach out, to support missions across the world, they never will. If a church sees no need to do anything, then they never will. But it's more specific than that, because a person who sees no need for Christ, guess what? Never will. Do you recognize your need for the presence of God? Do you recognize your need for the presence of God? How many of you need the presence of God in your life? Yeah, yeah. We all say that. But do you truly recognize the need? It's not a blessing just to have it all. God wants to come and bless me as I live my life. You see, that's not what God's after. God says, I want you to live my life. I want you to live my life. Remember when you gave yourself to me? It's now my life. Remember what Paul says? I'm crucified with Christ. Now I live, not I, but Christ in me. If we've given our lives to Christ, our life is now His. And truly what that means is we say, Lord, it's your life. Have your will, have your way. Do with it what you want. I've given it to you. Sometimes we just have issue with that. And sometimes we say, oh, but what I meant was when it benefits me, and I see it as a benefit, not what you see as a benefit, God. When it's convenient for me or when it's comfortable for me. But that's not what God ever promised us. He never promised us all those things. He promised us the greatest blessing ever, ever, and that is eternal life in heaven. But that does not happen without Jesus Christ taking over our lives and running it as He desires. And you don't get to that point without having a hunger for God. When we cry out and say, you are what I think of the most. You consume my thoughts day in and day out. When I go to sleep, when I wake up, it's like a hunger within me. It's all I can think about is the food, that hunger. When we say, God, I hunger after you, that's you're all I think about. You're all I think about. I know I've got to live life and do things and whatnot, and I'm going to tend to those things, but you're always on my mind, first and foremost. Is that true in your life? Let me just encourage you. If that's not true in your life, let me encourage you. Before you walk out of this room today, make a commitment to God. Say, God, I'm not quite there yet. And I may have slipped back and I may have fallen. I've been filling up on some other things, but I want to get rid of those things and I want to fill up on you. And I want to have a hunger for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, well, I don't even know what he's talking about, because what I know of Jesus Christ, the preacher just said, come down, shake my hand, fill out this paper, and you're a Christian, and that's all I had to do. Folks, that's just where it begins. This is where you don't earn salvation, but when you get salvation, it's time to go to work. It's time to go to work. Not to earn it. You can't earn it. You can't do enough work to earn it. It's a free gift. But because of that great gift, because of that great, immeasurable gift, we give God the only thing we can give Him, and that is us. He says, that's good enough. I can work with that if you give me permission to work with every bit of you. I'm not sure what your need is today. I'm not sure exactly where you are, but I do know that God desires to have every bit of you. And if He doesn't have every bit of you, your greatest need is to give Him the rest of you. Take care of business. Deal with God today. This is your time. This is your time. I'm going to ask the music to play in just a moment. I'm going to pray for us first. But we're going to sing a song. I'm going to be standing here in the front. My partner is going to be with me up here, as we always are. Very, very seldom are we anywhere where we're not together. She's my partner. We're all partners, just in a different sense. Not sure what your need is today, but the altar will be open. We will be up here in the front if you'd like to pray with us or have us pray with you. We'd love to have that opportunity, because my greatest desire as your pastor is to see you grow. I know that I can't see you grow if I'm not first growing too. I've made a statement that I love. I have loved and watched this congregation grow in depth and in knowledge. We've grown in numbers over the last 6.5 years. Sure, that's great. We need to be doing that too. But to watch the amount of spiritual growth in us as a congregation has been one of my greatest joys as your pastor. That's what I desire for us. So I would love to pray for you, to ask for that manifest presence of God to be in your life and shown in you and in your growth and your spiritual walk. Whatever you need, this is your time. Father in heaven, Lord, the truth is you are here. You are all around us. You are in us. Father, may we recognize your presence. May we recognize your working in our lives. And Father, may we recognize the areas where you are not working because we've not given that to you. And may we confess it and turn that over to you and say, it's yours. Do with it what you want. That's what surrender is. Oh, Father, help us to surrender, all of us. And Father, we don't do... convict us not to do church so that we would get blessings. Father, convict us to desire you and you alone. The blessings will come, but our greatest desire is you and you alone. And if that's not true in us, Father, change us today in Jesus' name.